Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We're gonna cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. This game's over momentarily, thankfully. I mean, it just was just torture, this football game. I mean, it was bad. It was like Ambien. I could have fallen asleep watching.
The primetime games have taken a dip here. There's no question about it. I mean, we've had a couple of blowouts, some boring games. I mean, tonight, that Ram-Niner game on Monday was awful. The Chiefs destroyed the Raiders on Sunday. I mean, that Raven-Dolphin game last Thursday was sloppy. The primetime games have taken a hit.
They've been falling off the cliff for sure. I mean, they really have.
Might not get too much better with the Steelers and the Chargers on Sunday night either.
I don't think that's going to be pretty at all. And I already told you what I think happens now. The Steelers blew the game against the Lions. They would have been 6-3, tied with the Ravens in the North for the lead. And instead, you're 5-3-1. You're a wild card team right now with everyone on your heels at 5-5, whatever. You're 5-3-1. You lose to the Chargers, you're 5-4-1. You're not a wild card team anymore. You go lose to the Bengals, your season's over. Because they got back-to-back, Chargers, Bengals on the road. Then they go home to meet the Ravens on a 4:25 kickoff 3 weeks from now. I'm telling you, that tie with Detroit cost the Steelers their season. If they win that game, they're 6-3 and tied for first. Would you agree with me? And instead, look what they got. They got a tie. They're a wild card now, not in the lead in the North. They're a wild card, and they'll lose that position by losing to the Chargers, and then they'll be out of it completely if they lose to the Bengals.
Yeah, I think that the tie may end up really being a hindrance more than a help as you get further down the year, especially since you have the extra game this year. There's just and it's who they got the tie with. It's just such a game at home that you have to put in your pocket if you're going to be able to get this done. And that's where it's probably going to end up really coming back to
the Ravens. You don't live it down. You can't live that down. All right, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm bored with it.
No.
Let's talk about Bryce Harper and your 15-1 ticket to win the MVP. That was one of your best Bob Boat Lagoon specials. And then Ohtani got the other one. So there's your MVPs, Bryce Harper and Shohei Ohtani.
And I had an Ohtani ticket as well, but I have the Ohtani ticket parlayed with Jacob deGrom to win the NL Cy Young. I got that in like May when he was destroying everybody. I parlayed them together, and I had a really nice price on it. And then, of course, deGrom got hurt, and he never played again. So that's just unlucky for me. I get take the loss there. But
didn't Burns get it?
Burns got it, yeah. But, I mean, DeGrom was, you know, head and shoulders. I mean, he was like minus 800 favorite at the beginning of June. And then he didn't pitch anymore. So Burns, that's what got Burns and all these other guys in the mix. But yes, I had Bryce 15-1, like maybe a day or two before the season started. And that one ended up coming home for me, which was nice.
You think that that Bryce Harper, now I think it's great he won the MVP for him. He had 18 home runs in August and September, and he won it. We welcome our radio affiliates, Sirius, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces. Hoorah! So he had 18 home runs in August and September. And then he ends up, you know, as usual, he's always, I've told you, been a 35 home run guy. He does it again, and then he wins the MVP. And then, but my question is, because I went to watch him play, right? I was there, and I think I posted a picture of him, you know, batting. And I was sitting right at behind home plate, five rows from the net. And I went to see him play. And I got to tell you, he was the only reason that I was there. I just wanted to watch him play. And they were playing Arizona, and they are awful. I mean, they have no one. They have no one on the team at all. And I'm watching the Phillies, right? And I'm looking at, you know, the citizens and everything. I thought, you know, it's easy to park there, walk right into the stadium. Nice stadium. I won't deny that. I don't think it's the greatest stadium I've ever been in, but I think it's nice. And then, I'm watching a game. I'm sitting there behind home plate. I mean, super expensive seats, whatever, with my buddy. And everyone around me is getting drunk. I mean, they're just pounding liquor. Pounding. They don't mess around in Philadelphia. They're rough. Oh, he just threw another pick. This one's going to be hizzy. Van Noy, hizzy. I mean, honestly.
I think they brought Rosen in, right?
Honestly. I don't care who threw it. It's just, this is embarrassing. So anyway, my point is that was Rosen. My point is that I'm asking you, do you think that he regrets signing with the Phillies? Because, I mean, they suck. They don't matter. They really don't matter. I know Joe Girardi will try to sell you all year that they do matter and they're trying to get a wild card and all this other stuff. But they don't matter. In my opinion, they do not matter. And he's stuck there, what, for 13 years or something like that? Like, how long is that deal? It's crazy. When we come back, Carver High will tell us what he thinks if Bryce Harper's happy or not. Team shutouts under Bill Belichick since 2000. It's crazy. They beat him 25-0. How about this? They brought Philippe Franks in the game after Rosen coiffed up a pick six hizzy to Van Noy. And then Philippe Franks comes in, first pass, picked off. I mean, to tell you, the reaction of Rosen and Franks to their one pass each, both picked, one for a hizzy, and the other one would have been easily good, a hizzy.
Good to know that the Falcons have a clear plan for the future after Matt Ryan. They got so many guys in the stable that they're ready to go to.
Oh, my God. They have to cut both of them. In fact, they got to be done with Matt Ryan. It's just over. And then Josh Rosen is the worst player in the NFL. And then Philippe Franks just has no idea what he's doing. And remember, I don't even know where he finished his college career. Didn't he play at Florida and then he transferred somewhere?
I think he went to Florida Atlantic, didn't he? Or one of those schools?
He's awful. He's awful.
Oh, Arkansas. Arkansas last year.
Oh, you're right. And then he was horrible there, too. He's horrible. Horrible. It is unbelievable to me. 25-0 the final Patriots.
Jeez.
I have to say this. Whether you like it or not, I think that kid, Mac Jones, he doesn't even look like a rookie. He does not play like a rookie to me. That guy looks like he's been playing in this league for 5 years. You can't even argue it.
No, look, I think that sometimes it does help, obviously, where you go. And I say this a lot about these first-round quarterbacks that get drafted. Sometimes it matters where you are. I mean, they're just, every situation is different. You know, if Mac Jones was, you know, in Zach Wilson's spot on the Jets or in San Francisco, I don't know if he's playing this well. I think it's part of the environment that you get drafted into. And New England's a place where you've got Bill, you've got Josh McDaniels, and you've got guys that are a very strong running game, good defense, and that's a formula to win with a rookie quarterback. That's it.
Yeah, no doubt. So do you think that Bryce Harper is happy?
No.
Playing for the Phillies?
No, I don't. I don't think that he's happy there. Now, I'll also say this. I think he'd be in the same situation if he stayed in Washington. And who knows if Washington wins that World Series if he stays. I think that the Nationals look a little different that year they won the World Series if Bryce Harper was still on the team. So maybe they don't win. I don't think it's easy to say he'd have a ring if he stayed with the Nationals. But he took the most money. We knew he was going to do that. And I think that there's a part of him that probably wishes he could have gave back maybe a couple years and a couple million and gotten some other teams at the table a little bit longer, whether those teams being the Yankees, the Dodgers, you know, et cetera. I think he needed to keep some of the other teams that win a lot more at the table. Instead, he took every last penny and went to Philadelphia.
Do you think that Guerrero deserved the MVP, or did you think it was a runaway Ohtani because he pitched?
We did this all year. I have a big problem that, first of all, I have a big problem that both MVPs went to guys whose teams didn't make the playoffs. You know, it's just like, let's not call it the MVP then. It's not the most valuable player. It's the most outstanding player. Call it something else, because this is not most valuable. All these guys didn't make the playoffs. Look at the top three finishers in these leagues. I mean, Guerrero didn't make the playoffs either. So, we got to look at it in this big picture. I mean, NL, it was Harper, it was Tatis, it was Soto. None of them made it. And none of them were close. So call the award something else at this point. The Ohtani thing bothers me, you know that, because if you did want to go by most outstanding player, look, he got it because he pitched. The offensive numbers for Guerrero were better. They just were.
Yeah, I thought so.
Offensive numbers were better.
In everything.
But we knew this all year long. I mean, Mish told you, Scott Miller told you, they all told you, same. All those writers who vote for that award, they made up their minds in June. Well, look at this guy. He pitches and he hits home runs. There you go. So when he pitches and hits home runs again next year, are we giving it to him every year because he pitches? Is that what we're going to do now? Just call and name the award after him then. Here you go. The Ohtani Award.
Yeah, so you and I have never talked about how Verlander went back to the Astros.
Yeah.
Everybody thought he was going back to Detroit or going east.
Yeah, to the Yankees.
Everybody's going to the Yankees, and they don't.
Brian Cashman said today, open for business, he said. Open for business.
Checkbook's ready.
Let's go. He's already made offers to free agents, he says.
He's going
to
use one of those pens back in the day, like in Philadelphia with a Constitution. You're going to dip it in a little ink and then write with it.
Yeah.
He can just do fresh ink, fresh liquid ink. So, what do you think of Verlander going back to the Astros and how it positions them again for another run? Or they're going to lose Correa maybe? I mean, they offered him $160 million.
Sounds like that's not enough for him. Sounds like he wants more.
I think he's going to be like Springer. And I think Springer's a great player too, but he barely played in Toronto.
Yeah, he broke down. He broke down quickly.
I think Correa is going to break down.
And it's very possible he's going to do the same thing. I'm not sure where to go yet with the Astros. I want to see if they do definitely lose Correa and if they make any other changes. Look, I think the hard part with Verlander is he hasn't pitched in 2 years. You know, I think that that's going to be the tough thing. He's old, and it's not like he's in his early 30s and hasn't pitched in 2 years. You know, he's in his late 30s, and he hasn't pitched in 2 years. So I think it's very tough to give the guy $25 million and a player option, and you don't really know what you're going to get yet. But He had his little workout where he threw the ball in shorts and everybody thought he looked great. So by all means, give him all the money. I'm actually kind of not going to lie to you. I'm glad the Yankees didn't sign him. You want to know why? The Yankees have, and Verlander's better than these other guys they've brought in the last few years. I'm tired of the Yankees bringing in the aging arm and giving him a shot. Didn't work last year with Kluber and shots at Tyone. Tyone's not an old guy. He was coming off a major injury, though. They need to get younger.
Will he be pitching for the Yankees again?
Yes, Tyone's on the Yankees next year.
All right, how about the Mets finally hired their GM, Billy Epler,
yeah,
who was a flop with the Angels for five seasons. What?
The claim to fame for Billy Epler was when he worked for the Yankees, because he was at the Yankees before the Angels, he like spent years and years scouting Shohei Ohtani for the Yankees. That was like his big deal. Like, he was Cashman's guy, like in Asia. He told him, this guy Ohtani's going to be great. Goes to the Angels, ends up signing Ohtani, did absolutely nothing else. I mean, zero. Absolute flop, like you said. And now he's going to be the Met GM, which, what was he, Scotty? The 37th or 38th guy on the list for that job?
I mean, it really was bad. I mean, it's the butt of jokes. I mean, no one in their right mind would take the Mets job. And there were so many of them.
And now he's going to go hire his boy, Brad Ausmus. His guy, Brad Ausmus, who he hired with the Angels. And that was awful. But let's go bring him in to the Mets. Go ahead. Bring Brad in.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that as Billy Epler failed as bad as he did in the Angels? Running that
same things.
Do the exact same effing thing and bring in the same effing manager that you failed with? Are you kidding me?
Just nonsense.
I mean, how stupid do you have to be? If he really does that, he's as good as fired.
Now, I also saw tonight that he's tight with Buck from his Yankee days. Showalter.
Well, then just make the move.
Yeah. That would be an interesting
right now.
I don't think Buck would want to deal with Cohen.
Really think Cohen interferes that much for all in a bench. What did you think of Bryce Harper receiving that MVP award and in the interview he did with his family wrapped around him? Everyone, his wife, his chef, his parents. I mean, and the guy, I mean, I like Bryce. I met him. He's cool. I got nothing against him. But boy, he got all kinds of like crying. Like, what was going on there?
I mean, that was just bizarre. You were just playing it for me in the break. Like, he goes from one second, like, he's crying like a baby. Like, it's, like, dude, A, you've won before. You know, just relax, you know. And then, like, he goes, does that complete 90-degree turn where he's crying and he's all emotional. And then he starts thanking the chef. Like, the chef was, like, the biggest thing. Like, he starts
I never went to bed hungry.
His nutritionists, you know, just, oh my God, what are we doing here?
All right, so I've had enough of this. Let's talk about the NHL tonight. I just wanted to say, you know, just for the sake of saying it.
Yeah.
I hit the Wild, I hit the Blues, I hit the Lightning, I hit the Panthers, I hit the Leafs, I hit the Flames, I hit the Penguins. I've got four games left. I bet Vegas they're up 3-1 in the second. I bet the Jackets they're tied 4-4 with 4 minutes left in the desert. I bet the Oilers they're tied 1-1 with 5 minutes left.
They just tied it just now, too.
I bet the Canes over the Ducks, and they're 1-1 in the second. Now, I mean, I don't believe I'll do it, but you've seen me do it before.
I've done it before.
So I'm not even going to go there. I've done it before. I don't know if I'm going to do it tonight. But right now, I'm 7-0 with four games left in the NHL betting for today. Like, it was just a great day because on Coast to Coast, I was like, flat out, I said, I'm going to hit a ton of hockey bets tonight. And, you know, they always tell us, don't talk about hockey. Well, I'll never listen to that. So just, you know, don't talk about hockey. Don't tell me what to talk about. And if you talk to me to not talk about hockey, I'm going to talk about it more. Okay, so you should get to know me a little bit. I mean, just so we're on the same page. I'll talk about hockey whenever I want. You know why? Because I make people money when I talk about hockey. And secondly, I love hockey. So that's like, I mean, what's next? Don't talk about the blizzard that hit. We got 40 inches of snow, but don't talk about it. So when I go 7-0 in hockey bets, I mean, I might as well be in a porno, because I'm just so 18-wheelered. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm all night long. I'm like, I can't hold these alligators down. It is an all-night ride, Carver High. You know it as well as I do. They used to tell me that all the time at CBS. Don't talk hockey. They used to tell me at Howard Stern, don't talk hockey. What is it about people and hockey, Carver High? Can you explain it to me? What is it about people that try to interfere with our love of hockey? And, you know, on Coast to Coast every day, you say, now it's time to talk hockey. I'm like, hockey. Why is it that people, you know, those people, what do you mean, those people? What do you think it means that all these people try to interfere with our love of hockey? I mean, let's just get down to business tonight. I've had enough of don't talk about hockey and all this other nonsense. I am your worst nightmare when you tell me don't.
And there's a woman out there who wants to find out just where she stands in the world of femininity. Jump on the horseman one time, baby. It's an all-night ride.
I am all night, baby. You can't even keep up with me, honey. I'm all night long. What is it about hockey, Carver High, that upsets everyone? There's just people interfering with our love of hockey. You know it's true. I know you don't want to go there, but you're already there. I mean, you're riding right side by side, co-pilot.
Well, look, I think we know what the deal with hockey is. It's a very regionalized, diehard but small fan base. So, like, basically, you know, we know that that there's hockey fans. Just, you know, there's not that many of them. The ones that there are absolutely diehard. There's no question about it. And the numbers actually do say that the sport is rising a little bit. People are starting to get into it because of how fast the game is. Like, you know how we talk all the time about how long it takes to play these baseball games and how long the NFL games are when you're sitting at them? Hockey, for this new millennial generation, is starting to catch on that it's a very quick game. And when you go, like, it's always the same time. Like, hockey games don't, unless you're in a playoff game, that's a different story, we put 7 overtimes. But for the most part, every night, you're getting the same thing. You're in there at 7, the puck drops, you're out of there at 9:45. I mean, it's just, you know what you're getting into going in. But I think it's just it's a small niche fan base, which is what.
Is that why? So, you know, I used to say the same thing. You know, you and I used to talk about it being a niche sport. But is that why?
Well, look, yeah.
Is that why ESPN and TNT just spent $1 billion on the rights?
No, but that's part of what I'm saying. It's I think it is growing, maybe slowly, but it is growing, and it is a sport on the rise. And the money says that. The money tells you that.
You know, I don't care what anybody says. Like, they constantly try to shove the NASCAR. And
yeah,
they're finished.
Let's be honest. I've told you this for years now. NASCAR has had a major problem for a long time. They don't have anybody who knows who they are anymore. And what I mean by that is people who don't normally watch NASCAR, you used to know 5 or 6 of the drivers without ever watching a race. They had stars that you knew who they were, whether it was Dale Earnhardt Jr. or Tony Stewart or Jeff Gordon. You know, you knew who those people were, even if you never watched a race. Now, they don't have anybody. You couldn't tell. Nobody that races in NASCAR has the kind of juice that those people had. Nobody does.
Let me say this. They try to cram that Daytona 500 down our throats every year with just endless promotion of it. I mean, just it. They promote that as much as the Super Bowl. I mean, they do. And I mean, that's just all there is to it. They promote the Daytona 500 as much as the Super Bowl, that it's the Super Bowl of racing and that it's the greatest stock car race in the world. And it's the kickoff to the NASCAR season and blah, 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 blah. And the reality is no one gives a Pharrell. I mean, no one gives a fuck. I couldn't watch five laps of that without absolutely crash landing sleep. I mean, just, 25 beers and 7 shots and blow and weed all day, 24-hour bender, and that kind of pass out. Like, that kind of pass out. That's what happens when I watch NASCAR. I mean, like, keel over like a tree getting chopped down in the woods. I mean, like the tree at the Rockefeller Center, they chop that puppy down, a 100-year-old tree, they chop her down and bring her in. I mean, that's what happens to me when I watch NASCAR. NASCAR, to me, is like, it's like having a bloody nose. I mean, what are you going to do? It just keeps, you just keep gushing blood. You're like the Exxon Valdez. Don't compare. I don't care who you are, you hillbillies. Don't compare your hillbilly ass NASCAR to NHL hockey. Kiss my ass. I don't care what anybody thinks. And I've been to 100 NASCAR races. I had a blast at all of them. I had a blast at all of them because I didn't watch the race. I went to the infield trying to get laid. I mean, that infield there is just sex 101. It is the greatest party on earth every week at those NASCAR races. I will not deny that.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Woo. So, I mean, I just get so upset with it, you know? And you know, today I had this conversation with you on Coast to Coast. You can't even argue with me about this either. And I listen, I'm one of the great sports fans of all time. I've been watching every single fight, every single sporting event, every single day, every single night for 55, 56 years. Right. So I've seen everything. I've been to everything. I've been to every sporting event on earth. Olympics 4 times, blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you that college football, to me, is headed for a crash landing. I mean, it is so bad now. And it's not because the game isn't good. It's because all they do is stuff like a turkey. They stuff like a turkey, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and they want to stuff Clemson in our arse too. But they can't because they suck this year, which is an epiphany. But the reality is that I can't take it anymore. I cannot take watching Ohio State play every single week of my life and then be in the playoff every single year of my life. I just can't take it.
Yeah.
And that's no reflection on anyone at Ohio State. I don't care about you that you win all the time and you're always in the playoff and you're always ranked in the top 5 in college football. I'm sick of Georgia. I'm sick of Alabama. I'm sick of Clemson. I'm sick of Ohio State. And like Oregon thinks they matter. They don't matter either. No one cares about you.
They'll get whacked by those teams, by Georgia and Alabama. They get whacked by Georgia and Alabama. Just absolutely whacked.
Whacked. All I know is I can't take it anymore. Like, I'm like at the end of my rope on watching college football. I just can't take it anymore. I mean, it's like, even on games that have nothing to do with Ohio State, they're talking on the air about Ohio State in the middle of the game. They're not calling Ohio State, calling something else. Sucks. Listen, I am telling you, the most stunning thing just happened to me. I'm watching, he's the nicest guy ever. Bob Huggins, he really is. He's taking selfies with fans. He's taking pictures. He's smiling. He's the nicest guy ever. Meanwhile, he wants nothing to do with any of these people. Don't touch me. He's just like, but he's doing his thing. He's being a good guy. You can see it through and through. He did an interview after the Mountaineers beat Elon tonight, and he tied Roy Williams with 903, his 903rd win as a coach, and He obviously doesn't like talking about himself. And he said, I'm going to stick around until I beat Roy Williams. He's one win away from that. And he said, Roy is a good friend of mine and the luckiest SOB on the face of the earth. He wins everything. He got Michael Jordan to play for him. He goes, what else does he get? I mean, the guy has everything. He goes, Roy Williams wouldn't recruit one of my players ever. Not one. And Then they asked him about the win, and he goes, we played like crap. We played no defense. We didn't hustle. We played stupid. We were terrible. Well, what do you think of tomorrow's game against Marquette? We should have plenty of energy tomorrow since we didn't play with any tonight. That's what he said. Then the thing that stunned me about him was, oh, my God, he's gotten so old. Oh, my God, life just happens, and Father Time just has kicked him right squarely in the package. He looks horrible, and he is old. He can barely walk. I mean, he's walking off the court. I thought they were going to have to wheel him out. He looks old. He is old. I was like, what has happened to Bob Huggins? You remember he used to just be all over the sideline, walking, screaming at refs, the whole deal. Now he's like Grandpa Jones on the front porch in a rocking chair. I was like, what happened to Bob Huggins? I mean, he looked like he was 100 years old just now. I saw him in an interview. He's sweating, and he, oh, my God. I was like, what in God's name has happened to him? They asked him a question about the game. He's like, yeah, we were terrible. Horrible team. These kids are a bunch of idiots. I was like, what is happening here? You saw me, Carver. I'm watching this interview. I'm like, I'm repeating what he's saying to you in the break. And I'm like going, Huggy Bear, it's over. Like, he is completely like 100 years old. I couldn't believe what I just saw. I just couldn't believe it. What?
Going deep on his team after the game. He's done that a few times. He holds no punches when it comes to how his team plays.
Right. And he also said, I swear to God, in the interview they asked him about what's the problem? And he said, we used to do all these things fabulously, like guard people, like rotate, like call out screens, talk, run, pick and roll, hustle, transition. He said, we don't do any of that now at West Virginia. That's what he said. He goes, we don't do any of that now. He's like, these kids now don't do a thing I ask them to do. Bunch of prima donnas. That's what he said. I was like, what is happening here? This is awesome. He's just calling them out. Now I'm stunned to see coverage, actual media coverage of the Crawford, Sean Porter, welterweight world title,
wow,
WBO fight.
Isn't that this
They're
week?
Actually there.
Is that this week?
Max, it's this week. Max Kellerman is there with, doing the show with Mark, who I'm thinking of. I'm tripping right now on his name.
Oh, I know.
You know, the writer, the
Krieger?
ESPN guy. Krieger? That's him. And then, and they're doing it, and they have a fighter with him too. I can't even remember his name. I don't even care.
You talk about a fight that's gotten absolutely zero juice in terms of promotion. I mean, I just said to you, is that fight this week? I mean, God, they really drummed up this one.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, here's the problem. The problem is this: is that what they've done is the boxing business has changed dramatically since the COVID. I mean, dramatically. So they've still had fights in Vegas and otherwise. They've had fights all over the world. They've had fights at the Garden. For 2 years, they didn't have fans at the fights for, 18 months. And now that there are vaccines and you can get a booster and all the rest, you can go to sporting events. And, I mean, they don't even make you wear a mask anywhere. I go to games. No one's wearing masks. Anyway, so boxing has had always this allure for the promotions and, frankly, sports radio, right? Like they brought in sports radio and television, sports networks. Most of them decline in terms of television networks, right? The only one that goes is ESPN. And I guess Fox Sports, shows up or something.
When they have the fight, yeah. When they're doing
if they have a big fight, like Fury Wilder, they'd have, Univision would be there. ESPN's going to be there. Fox Sports 1, they're all going to be there. But the reality is 80% of it is radio stations. And, 5% of it is national radio. Okay. It was like me and you know, in terms of national radio, it was like me. And then from satellite, it was Covino and Rich. They were there, but there really wasn't any other national shows in terms of at the fights. Now I did every fight basically for 30 years at least. And I was at every fight, at every single fight. Now, and this is no reflection on my friends that run the business, like, you know, who they are, Bruce and,
yeah,
you know, I'm not going to name names and get anybody hostile toward me. I'm just telling you, I don't think that it matters. Like, all those people are my friends, and like Tracy, Bruce, all the people that I do fights with over the years at PBC and at Showtime, HBO even. I've worked for all of them. And what I've noticed is, without a doubt, you know, I'm right, is they just don't bring anyone anymore. They do not have one person going to promote their fights. They do not, there's no more Radio Row. There's no more TV networks there. I can't even fathom that. I just turned on the TV right now and ESPN had Max Kellerman sitting there with Keaton or whatever his name is, Krieger. And they were doing a boxing segment for 5 minutes from Las Vegas in a conference room where they have those media centers. And the media center now at Vegas for this fight has like 10 people there. Wow. Where there used to be 200. Right? And now they are not bringing us anymore. They do not promote fights anymore at all. They just don't. They don't promote them. They just have them. They have fights, but they don't promote them. And I'm telling you, without a doubt, I've been doing this long enough, 35 plus years. I think it's the biggest mistake they ever made, because I am telling you, the UFC, what they do with ESPN is, it's uncatchable now for boxing. It's gone. It's already lapped them. They've lapped them twice. The 24-hour Le Mans that used to matter, they've lapped them 5 years of lapping them. That's how the UFC on ESPN has put boxing in a casket. It's in a casket. Now you can talk all you want. Tyson Fury and Wilder 3. I didn't want to see the second fight, let alone the effing third fight. Okay. That's how bad boxing is now, that they're giving me trilogy fights with fat asses. And then secondly, Crawford's fighting Porter, great fight. Not a person on the face of the earth knows about it. Not one person. And then they just had Canelo and Plant. Everybody thought Plant was going to upset Canelo Alvarez. Canelo Alvarez could have killed Caleb Plant in that fight. If it went on for another, you know, if it went on past the 11th and into the 12th, he may have killed him. He may have killed him. Killed him dead. And here's how many people cared about Canelo fighting Caleb Plant. Double Bluto's, okay? No one. No one cared at all. I mean, they may not even have cared in Mexico, okay? So boxing is officially in the casket. They have not thrown the dirt on it yet. It's going in the ground, Carver High. You know it's true. Like, they cannot have another, they cannot have another gigantic fight. And there's five people at the press room. And you know who they are. They're like, I mean, let's just face it. It's like the scum of the earth. I mean, it really is. It's the sleaziest pack of wolves you've ever been around in your life. Am I wrong? I'm not even wrong. I'm like, when I go there, I'm like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Honestly, I'm better than you. Don't touch me. Don't look at me. Don't touch me. Don't spit on me. Because that's what you do when you start talking. You're spitting on me. So they have ruined. They have literally ruined boxing because they don't promote it. They do not promote boxing anymore. And they're going to wonder why they're going broke. And they're going to wonder why no one watches and no one buys the pay-per-views. It's because no one gives a Pharrell. It's completely dead. Max Kellerman can talk about boxing until his family leaves him. And no one will ever care. It's the same fighters, the same bad fights, same fight, different day, Groundhog's Day. They never have good fights. And when they do, it's so rare that people don't even see it because they had no idea there was a good fight on. It's terrible. And let me tell you something. I'm right about the UFC. It has lapped boxing for 5 years. I mean, it is tying him up with duct tape. Home Alone style. I'm telling you, the UFC has finished boxing. It's over. It's already over. And I'll tell you another thing. When Mayweather stopped fighting, that was also the end of it. He's the only reason anybody went to fights. You know why? They wanted to see him lose, and he never did. And he'll never fight again for anything that matters. He'll never fight a real fight because he's going to retire 50-0. You know I'm right, Carver High. What is good about boxing anymore besides, you know, nothing?
Nothing. I don't disagree with anything that you just said. They have completely, for the most part, ruined it. This is a good fight on Saturday night, and nobody even knows it's happening. It's a good fight. I've been waiting a long time for T-Bud to actually fight somebody, and the only reason why ESPN's there is because they got the pay-per-view this week.
Oh, so ESPN's got the pay-per-view?
Yeah, top-ranked ESPN pay-per-view. So
there you go. Well, here's the deal. I don't even think 50 people will buy the fight. I'm going to put the over-under at 50 people in America buy the fight.
How about, do 50 people know the fight is happening? 50 people
I would know
there's a fight.
The pay-per-view price should be $5.
I can't believe what they charge, considering. I can't believe it.
Is there anyone that, and Crawford's 15-0 in world championship fights, 12 knockouts, 15-0, and no one cares. No one cares about Bud Crawford. I mean, he's just completely meaningless. He is so irrelevant. It's not even funny. And Sean Porter is a tough mother forever. He will fight Bud Crawford as sure as I'm sitting here for 12 rounds. He's gonna bang with him for 12 rounds. I do not believe that he'll knock out Sean Porter. Sean Porter's tough. He's no joke. He fights. When he shows up, he fights. It actually is gonna be a great fight that no one will watch because boxing's dead. All right, Carver High, you know what I've done in hockey. The Jackets won, the Oilers won, the Wild won, the Blues won, the Lightning won, the Panthers won, the Leafs won, the Flames won, the Penguins won. And I'm going to hit Vegas. They're up 4-1 after two. That's 10-0. And if the Canes tied one run with the Ducks, if the Canes can beat the Red Hot Ducks in the third period, if they can somehow win that game, I go 11-0.
Yes. Pretty good.
Not bad. I mean, not too shabby. Anyway, the Heat beat the Wizards 112-97. I was concerned about the Wizards having so many guys out of the lineup. Warriors won and covered. Did you hit a big bet on that?
Oh, huge bet on the Warriors. I actually took them at the end of the third quarter down 13 on the money line, plus 240, and then they smoked them in the fourth quarter. Let's go.
104-89. Curry had 40.
20 in the fourth.
120 to what?
He had 20 of those 40 in the fourth quarter.
He's the man. Grizzlies 120-108 over the Clippers. The T-Wolves actually won two in a row for the first time ever. 115-90 over the Spurs. Sixers upset the Nuggets. I had the Sixers on the spread, 103-89. And the Jazz eliminated the Raptors with a strong effort, 119-103. That was a done deal. College football, Louisville, a winner tonight over Duke.
They sure were.
Some guy went up 62-22. I told you today on Coast to Coast, Duke sucks in football, and that's a terrible game. Don't waste your time watching. And I was right. 62-22. There you go. And the Patriots have won 5 in a row. 6-7. They blanked the Falcons 25-0 tonight. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. Good night.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.